I wanted to talk this week about prayer. And this is, in a way, a personal evocation, because recently I've been drawn more and more just towards prayer. I thought I would begin with a kind of introduction from the perspective of the soul. And I really wanted to begin with one's incarnation, because in Sufism there are three journeys. There is the journey from God, which is the journey of incarnation, which is also sometimes called the journey of forgetfulness. Then there is the return journey to God, which is also the journey of remembrance. And then there is the third journey, the journey in God. The first segment of this journey is the journey into this world, in which the soul chooses a family, physical body, to incarnate, to have certain experiences and certain possibilities for evolution in this world. And so the pure light of the soul, the divine spark of the soul, you know, comes into a fetus. The fetus becomes a baby. And you can see in the very, like, the first year of the baby's life, it's almost just complete soul. There's a physical body and there's a soul. I remember this with my grandchildren. Somehow I was much more able to see it with my grandchildren than with my children. I was much more involved with my children. That it was just pure soul. I used to really enjoy taking my granddaughter for a walk in the buggy, because it was just like soul to soul. It was very direct connection. It was just the light of the soul was present. And then this drama happens where the ego begins to constellate. And from this dispersed consciousness of the soul, this pure light of the soul, that begins to become the I of the person. And I was able to study this quite clearly, and I saw how the soul gave a little bit of its light to create this I. Not all of its light, but it gave a little bit of its light to create this I. And with the I, there comes the will, and then the personality that constellates around that. And for most human beings, this is the journey from God, the journey of forgetfulness, in which we leave the pure light of the soul, the divine consciousness of the soul, and we experience life just through the consciousness of the ego, just through this little bit of light of the ego. Compared to the light of the soul, the ego only has a very small amount of light, a very little bit of consciousness. For people who are not interested in spiritual life, that's kind of what they get. Traditionally, people who've had near-death experiences, you know, they go through the tunnel, and there at the end of the tunnel, there is this light, and they say that's God. It's not God, it's the light of their soul, the light of their self, which they're reconnecting with. And most people who don't engage in spiritual practice reconnect with the soul after they die. So this whole incarnation is experienced through this little bit of light of the ego consciousness. And then they return to the soul after they die. And of course, on the spiritual path, one doesn't want to do that, and this is the whole Sufi tradition of to die before you die, which means to reconnect with the light of the soul while you're still in this physical body. And that is what is generally understood as spiritual life, is the process of connecting the I you think you are with this bigger consciousness of the soul, of the self. I use the two words soul and self synonymously. And that is what spiritual practice is about initially looking, if you like, from this little consciousness of the I, me, with all of its problems and insecurities and conditioning and struggles and difficulties, towards the bigger light of the soul. This is the journey of remembrance, the journey back to God, the journey of reconnection that you can make if you are seriously engaged in spiritual practice, that you can make in this life, so that you actually reconnect with the soul before you die. And then that enables a whole set of other possibilities to take place that can't take place if you wait till after you die to reconnect with the soul. And one of the ways of reconnecting with the soul, of looking towards the soul, is prayer. It is one of the most fundamental ways of turning your attention towards the light of the soul. St. Teresa of Avila, who I like very much, wrote a lot about prayer. She said, spiritual life without prayer is like a cripple trying to walk. It's very difficult. So prayer is a way of turning our attention away from ourselves back to God, back to the soul, because at the beginning, your higher self and God are really synonymous. Your higher self, your soul, is the part of you that is divine. And you really call that God. In fact, there is a whole Sufi science of this that Ibn al-Arabi explores and expresses in the saying, he who knows himself knows his Lord. And that if you come to know yourself, you know your Lord, which is your higher self. And the journey of self-discovery, the journey of self-revelation, is a revelation of, not of God, but of your own divine nature of the soul or self. God is really something else. God is unknowable. No one knows God but God. But you can come to know the light of your soul. You can come to know yourself. It is what is termed enlightenment. You come to have direct access to the light and consciousness of your soul, of yourself. I was actually given that experience when I was 23, and my sheikh made me conscious on the plane of the soul, made me conscious that I was a soul. And then life is very different, because you begin to see life from the perspective of the soul rather than just the ego, struggling, aspiring, seeking. But prayer is a way of turning your attention towards the light of the soul. Later, of course, you come to realize that it is a form of communication that becomes communion. A communication because you cry out to God or your higher self, and you get a response. And that is communication. You know, you ask and your prayers are sometimes answered. And this is one of the great miracles that you experience initially, that to have your prayers answered in whatever way they are answered, either with a voice answering it or through outer experience answering it, or through some inner recognition answering it. There are many ways one's prayers can be answered. But it is really extraordinarily wonderful to have one's prayers answered, to have what is, the Sufis talk a lot about companionship. I am the companion of he who remembers me. And this journey of aloneness, of this solitary path of the mystic, of the lover of God, becomes a journey of companionship in which you relate to God, you relate to your beloved, and your beloved relates to you. And it's a very living relationship that takes place within the heart, that takes place with prayer within the heart. And this companionship, this communication of companionship, finally becomes communion, because it is really becomes a state of oneness. And then there is the whole mystery of who is actually praying to who. Because if there is oneness, which is the essential mystical understanding, I am he whom I love, he whom I love is me. If there is oneness, who is praying to who? And the Sufis have actually explored the whole fact that it is he who is praying to himself within your heart, within your soul. And this is where you really begin to step out of the isolation of your own self into this deeper mystery of oneness, in which essentially you are the voice of God calling to God, and your prayer is God's prayer. There is a story, I think, Rumi tells of somebody who says, I never get any answers to my prayers. And the voice comes that your cry, Allah, is my answer, here I am. Your cry, Allah, is my answer, here I am. That our cry to God, our prayer to God, is also his response. He cries out to himself within our heart, within our soul, within our need. And there is a beautiful saying of the Sufi Sal, when he says, God Most High hath brought forth creation and said, entrust me with your secrets. If you do not do this, then look towards me. If you do not do this, then listen to me. If you do not do this, then wait at my door. If you do none of this, at least tell me your needs. And for many of us, it's this, tell me your needs is the first step of prayer. We are in need, so we cry out. And this is very important. This is part of the whole human drama, that we are in need. I often think it's very hard to be born into this American Puritan conditioning in which you have to do it yourself, because you can't do it yourself. And to honor one's needs, one is in need. And so you cry out to God. And that is, if you don't do anything, at least tell God your needs. And this is the beginning of prayer, I think. One has many needs. I think being a human being, it is the one quality, if you like, of being a human being, is one has needs. One has needs for oneself, one has needs for one's family, one has needs for one's friends, one has needs for the earth. We have many needs. And when they are really pressing, then we cry out to God with our needs. There is, of course, the most basic need for the Sufi, which is the pain in the heart, the longing. Oh, beloved, help me with this longing. I need you, I miss you, I want you. This is when the prayer of the soul becomes alive. And you look towards this light, or your the light of your human need looks towards this light of the soul, the divine light within you. It is this mystery of light rising towards light. Your little light, your little me. I am so helpless. I don't know what to do. How many nights I have cried like that. I don't know what to do, beloved. Help me. I need your help. I am desperate. We have so many needs, and that is good. That is being a human being. That is the Sufi says that is the one quality that God doesn't have, is needs. He has everything else, but he doesn't have needs. So we are his need. And so we live that need, we offer that need to him, we pray to him. And we cry from our own heart. We cry with feeling. Our Sheikh, he said, if the heart has heard the prayer, God has heard the prayer. This has to do with the mystery of the heart. We have so many needs, and Yes, we have to try to stand on our own feet, but we can never stand on our own feet. We can't be self-sufficient. It is an illusion. Nothing is self-sufficient in creation. I think it is a great human misunderstanding, because everything in creation is interdependent. Everything is dependent upon everything else. We are dependent upon the air we breathe, on the food we eat, on each other, on nature, and of course we are dependent upon God. And what is prayer? It is making that need known to yourself and known to God. And it is in a way a form of humility. I need you. You bow down before God. There is a beautiful Sufi prayer, sometimes I do it in the night, where you are on your knees and your head is on the floor, and you bow down with your whole being to God. In the night you wake up, or you can't sleep, and your heart is crying. You just go and kneel on the floor. Sometimes it feels so good to include the body in your prayer. And to kneel before him. It is an act of humility. I need you. I can't do this on my own. And this is the first step in prayer. Later, prayer becomes just a way to be with God, a way to be with your own heart. It becomes a way to live. Much later, you are in prayer all the time. There is no moment of the day when you are not inwardly in prayer. This is actually expressed in a line in one of the letters of St. Paul, I think, when he talks about pray without ceasing. And it confused a lot of people, because how can you pray all the time? He's talking, of course, about a deeper mystical prayer in which the whole of one's being, one's heart, is always in prayer. Which for the Sufi means you are always inwardly repeating the name of God. You're always looking towards God, because actually all of creation is always in prayer. This is one of the esoteric mysteries. Do you not see that all that is in the heavens and the earth and the bird in its flying is praising Allah? For every being knows its own way of prayer and praise, and Allah is the knower of all that they do. Everything in creation, every leaf, every bird, everything is always in a state of prayer. It is always praying to God. Its very being, the very essence of creation, is looking towards God. And the human being has the ability to make that conscious, to speak the words, to bring into consciousness that prayer. And eventually be that prayer. One becomes a place of prayer. Because what else is one here for? Why would one not want to be in prayer? Why would one not want to be a place of prayer? This is when the journey back to God becomes the journey in God, when it just becomes a deepening immersion in that relationship in the heart of your soul and God. It's when you really become immersed, the light of your individual consciousness, the I, becomes merged, immersed into the light of this greater consciousness of your soul. And one becomes a place of prayer. One's whole being is just always in prayer. But at the beginning, there is a way to make that known to yourself, to live it consciously until it becomes just a way to be. And the first step is, tell me your needs. That's what the Beloved wants to hear. He wants to hear our needs. He wants us to turn towards him and cry to him. Because it's the one thing he doesn't have. He has everything but needs. Now, what is most important for the mystic is that this prayer takes place within the heart. And mystical prayer is really the prayer of the heart. There's an Orthodox Christian, St. Theophan, who said, the concentration of attention in the heart, this is the starting point of prayer. the concentration of attention in the heart. This is the starting point of prayer. Open our hearts that we may hear thy voice that constantly cometh from within. It's in the heart. And this is, of course, has to do with the esoteric mystery of the heart as a spiritual organ of divine consciousness. And for the mystic, prayer begins in the heart. We're not so concerned about the ritualized forms of prayer, about the just prayer with words, but it has to be the prayer in the heart, because that is where we meet with God. This is the starting point of prayer. This is the prayer in the heart. And if you want to learn how to pray, you pray with feeling, you pray in the heart. And the heart is where we are together with God. This is the mystery of the heart. This is the locus of our relationship with God takes place within the heart. And you can, if you like, just put the, like we do in meditation, it is easy for us because the meditation practice we do is to put the mind into the heart. And what we do in meditation, putting the mind in the heart, you put the prayer into the heart. So you pray with feeling. Beloved, help me. You feel it. I always feel it when it's like that. I actually feel it physically, the prayer physically in the heart. Because my attention goes into the heart. The breath, it's like I imagine the breath also in the heart. Beloved, help me. And then there is this feeling. So that is where one begins prayer. If it is just prayer in the mind, it stays in the mind. So you begin by going into the heart, by feeling your need. You are lonely, you are desolate, your partner is sick, your friend is dying, whatever it is. You pray for yourself, you pray for understanding, you pray for your family. Wherever you are drawn to pray, you pray with feeling. It matters. If it doesn't matter, don't pray. If it's just an empty ritual, that is not for us. If there is no direct feeling, if it is not, it doesn't matter to you if it is. And then there is feeling. You are in the heart, and that is where you begin to access the light of your divine consciousness. Your little need goes into this deeper need you have to be with God. You have to make a relationship with God, or relationship with your own soul. It is the same at the beginning.